Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Biriako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space. Busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that flaunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to
and
integrated
to miseducated, to
now to re-educated.
This is Omiyika, your advocate, the one you need, and also your advisor, the one you want. I'd like to welcome you this evening to part two of our continued topic on fusion music and entertainment music. We do have a guest that will be speaking to us this evening.
Just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit. We've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals. While the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. Just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Once again, thanks for coming to the room this evening, and welcome to Care to Read. I'd like to invite those newcomers who are contemplating where to spend their evening this evening to come and drop by the Care to Read room. Yes, you have your advisor, the one you need, and you have your advocate, the one you want, Omiyika 7. I'm here to serve you this evening. We are Consumer and Family Life Education Center, providing information for the family and closing the gap of disparity of illiteracy. It is our Americans know that it is a right, not a privilege, to read, and they must exercise that right. It's important that African American families and home are literate, and that mothers are very, very anxious about bringing literate print into the home to educate their children. As you know, as always, each week we have a book that we introduce to the family as well as a guest speaker. There will be time from time to time that we might not have guest speakers, and you'll have your Omiyika here to talk to you. But today I'll have a guest speaker that is going to continue with part two of the segment that we started on entertainment music and fusion music. And I like to also call it spiritual music. It's a new wave that's going across the airwaves where some of the various different centers and discotheques are using what they call spirit music. Now, the feature book that I'm going to recommend for this evening for the family, it's going to be two books, and you can go out on my website and find more information. We will erect this Family Life Center online, make it available for parents to go and access services and material, because information is powerful. That's what makes us powerful, is our knowledge. Before I give you the name of those two books that I want to feature this evening, I'd like to read you an African proverb, because we are focusing in on African holistic mind, body, soul, and spirit. From time to time, I'd like to send out information that could be beneficial to those homes where African culture needs to be implemented. And I'd like to talk to you about the seven African powers. And just a brief introduction on the seven African powers. The God of every man is not in heaven, nor in the immeasurable vistas of space. For in those remote expansions dwell that vast spirit, which is the God of the world, the great macrocosmic man's God, is in his own divinity part, meaning his head. It abides in the remoteness of his own aura and body. To this spirit be addressed his prayers. In this spirit, he invests his hope. Towards his spirit, he is led by the aspirations and the union within this spirit. He achieves important things. This is his Ori. That is the head, ladies and gentlemen. We are to honor our Ori, our head. If we have success, if we prosper, we are to honor our head. This spirit is the real self, and this real self is his Badum, his Nasia, his Ori, his Vasta Pass. This Vasta part of man has an affinity with one of more of his seven primary spirits of nature, the seven African powers, which are, each of these powers is said to be correspondence to a color, a musical note, a planetary vibration, a mystical dimension. These seven powers, however, are not seven individual powers of spirit being, but seven legions of phalanges of entities that are formed into groups of spiritual skies. These groups of spirit beings are composed of thousands, perhaps millions, of individual spirit beings of power. Each group is formed on the rays of a common norm, an intellectual and natural infinity, each having its leader and its correspondent in the Western Hemisphere. On the African diaspora, these seven powerful beings have also been spiritualized into seven lines of categories of spirit, seven lines of nation, as well as seven spiritual lands of esoteric rites. Esoteric rites. That is why I adopted the number seven and added to my name as And it's very important for us to know that when we speak of heaven, we must not look to the outer planetaries, we look within. And when we speak of God, we must speak of our head, which is Ori, which is our self, our higher self. And when we pray to ourselves, asking ourselves to do that which is needed in us to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish. So in other words, God resides inside of us. And as God resides inside of us, he cooperatively works with us on one accord, and we become co-partners together, laboring together. And if we are to have good success, we thank our head, because our head is the one that's full of wisdom that gives us direction. Anything outside of ourselves, and that is why I say from time to time, ye are God's little children, and you will overcome them. You are God's, and you must look at yourself as God every day. As you wake up in the morning, you must address yourself and others as God, because God has given you the full right to press him forward within yourself so you can manifest him and become a full-blown God. Now, of course, I'm not speaking of the God that created the universe. As I told you, out in those outer planetary cosmic areas, you're not looking for God in that direction. You go inwardly to find the spiritual being that you are dealing with every day, who you struggle with daily to fight against. Direction for their families, or maybe contemplating trying to find their own worshiping session at home and finding a way to understand what's going on in this world with the Bible and them looking for all sorts of things in the planet now. If you're going to look at the constellation of the stars, then you might as well have full truth and know that the constellation of the stars was very important in creating the planet. And number one, the constellation of the three stars when they had the three wise men was lined up to see Jesus. And they are the Sirius star B. That is what you're looking at. And it was not really a man at all, but an example of the three wise men were the actual stars. And the constellation of the Virgin Mary was also designed to be the representation of the mothers of the 13 crucified saviors, who all names begin with the letter M. If you really are going to be a student and study, then study the proper way and find James Version and find other books that predate, I repeat, predate the malignant materials that they put out there. You have to understand that King James had a character. Research King James and find out who wrote the King James Version and a little bit about his character. Homework for you. I'm sure you'll be surprised to know his character does not go before him and that he might not have the right frame of mind to have given us such a book as the Bible. Just go out and research him. I don't have time today to talk about him, but that's just a little blurb for the family today. Those two books that I promise you that I would recommend, The True Power of Water, Healing, and Discovering Ourselves. I repeat, The True Power of Water and Healing and Discovering Ourselves is an excellent book that I'm starting to read, and this book talks about the values of water, the mystical side of water, and it's written by Masura Emoto. He's a Chinese gentleman. I have spoken to one of his publishers about him possibly appearing on a show. We're waiting for her to get a response. And he also wrote The Secret Life of Water. Masimoti is from China, and he has some real important things to tell us about the makeup of water and understanding why it's necessary for us to honor water. And that is why water is held very highly in the ceremonial session of libation. And I'm going to pour libations, and I'm going to ask someone to purify me before I pour libation. Water is very important to Africans. We purify everything. And I will ask William, or I will ask Terrell, Terrell, come and purify me. Purify me before I pour the libations. I pour libations to the east, to the west, to the north, and to the south, and to all four cardinal directions. This libation, we summon our ancestors, and we say they're certainly welcome here, and we ask them to allow us to stand on their shoulders as we crawl over their backs, and we stand out front, because we know they're the sum total of why we came. And without our ancestors, without those who have gone on before us, we can do nothing. I know for a fact that the busts of the ancestors in the White House are worshipped and communed with on a day-to-day basis and have been there for many, many centuries, and they are acknowledged. We have to come to grips with the fact, African family, that it's important for us to have ancestors as well and commune with them. I did not say worship. I said commune by mentioning their names, calling their names on a day-to-day basis, and paying homage to them. Anyone that doesn't have that much respect for their ancestors and fear that they may be worshiping someone dead, then I think that you will never be able to keep the lineage of your family alive. And the way you keep your family alive is by mentioning them and calling their names on a day-to-day basis. And as I pour this libation, so that everyone is in agreement, And we're asking God to lend us his ashe. And his ashe is his ability to act and work in the spirit this evening. So we say ashe, ashe, ashe. And ashe means so let it be, so let it be done. And for those here, we know that we always ask the elders, do we have permission to speak? And can the elders open up this ceremony or this discussion or whatever meeting we're having with giving us permission to speak? And we always acknowledge those that are unborn, unbeknown to us ancestors we don't know. We mention those people also. So if they are on their way and they're in the process of coming here, we acknowledge them as well. And people, it is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. This is your heritage. We have to hold on to something, a little part of ourselves, since we have no land base to hold on to. So hold on to a little part of yourself, and little by little, in your Kashic record, in your medulla oblongata, in your master penal system, this information will come back to you, and you'll find yourself. Then you'll know yourself again. Oh, when you learn who we are and how great we were and how much love we used to have for one another, I tell you, you will love yourself. Love yourself today. And with that note, I'm going to go to station identification, and I'm going to come right back at you in the air. I ask you to lend me your airways for approximately 60 minutes, and I promise you I will give your airways back to you. I promise you. And I will be brief. I will not keep you here forever talking, but I would like to take a station identification so we can pay some bills.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up.
Once again, welcome to Care to Read. You have your Omi Inka 7 here, your advocate, the one you need, and you have your advisor, the one you want. And what I mean by advisor, people, is I'm an advisor for students who are going through getting credentials in early childhood. I mention that so that they'll know that I am an advisor here in this area. As well as I'm an advocate for families of children with special needs. I advocate for them. I'm an advocate of many other things. However, we must all find something we can be vested in. I'd like you to take down that number, 646-478-0270. And we have Mrs. Tanya Vega in the audience. And without any further ado, we're going to bring her on. And I'm going to have Tanya just briefly give us a little bit of what we were talking about prior to today. And then we can recapture some of that information and we'll go right into the subject matter. Hello, Tanya.
Hello. Hello, everybody who's listening out there. I'm Tanya Vega. And what I do here in Chicago and around Chicagoland is I review local music, the local scene that's happening out there. And what we were discussing last week was about this new wave of fusion, this kinetic energy that's bringing a lot of different people with eclectic music backgrounds together and creating this world fusion, spiritual, instrumental, whatever you want to give a name to it, it's happening out there, it's live, it's, you know, bringing people from all quarters, I would like to say all quarters of the earth, because it's not just happening here in Chicago, but it's happening across the nation and around the world. Something spectacular is going on in the new millennium, people.
And I have a question, Tanya. Does any of your other friends that you've been fraternizing with, do they agree or coincide with what you're feeling or what you're saying, and have you had discussion with them about this?
I've talked to a lot of fans of the bands that, you know, who do a lot of world fusion, and they feel something spectacular is happening within the music scene. It's not just, you know, the rock scene anymore. It's called the music scene these days because there's a whole lot of genres coming together and they're becoming one. It's not just, oh, we have the metal band, we have a rock band. Now bands are forming different splinters of rock and of metal and electronica, and they're meshing it all together. So it's not just like, oh, this is a new age band or this is a modern jazz band. They're calling themselves a music band because a lot of bands, you cannot stick in a box with one genre anymore because they're borrowing from a lot of other genres to make their own unique sound.
Tanya, it wasn't a coincidence that you and I met, and as I recall when we met at a radio station where we both were getting information about
yes.
our careers in the profession. I decided to join a website that actually features bands. Even though I'm not a band, I once was in a group in Germany where we toured all over Berlin and throughout
yes.
Germany. And I wanted to keep with that organization. It allowed me to find a fan club, and I connected with all these bands. And I can give you that website. That website is called ourstage.com. And they're
oh, yeah,
excellent.
I know about
organization. Are you familiar with ourstage?
I'm familiar with ourstage. They were part of a sponsorship of last year's the new music business seminar that was held at the Park West last year. And
Tanya?
I was able to, yes.
Tanya?
So, am I losing? Yes. Am I losing you again?
Can you hear me, Tanya?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry. Can you still hear me?
Okay. Uh-huh. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I was part of this new music seminar last year at the Park West. And I talked to people who are familiar with our stage. I know a lot of bands here locally are familiar with our stage. And it's a wonderful site. I really do like it. A lot of people don't understand that our stage is, you know, they're out there promoting bands, local bands, upstart bands, and try to get them their voices heard among the masses around the world.
And, you know, the other thing that they did, and I didn't realize, is they actually compete and they battle the bands. And you can compete and put your music in and, you know, whatever songs you want to submit, you can compete. And there are prizes and awards. And I was asked to compete. And at the time, I had no band, but I did have my spoken word. I competed
yeah.
in spoken word. And then I had one that had music, so I did submit that one. I love the fact that you can recruit fans, and fans will actually
right.
recruit you, and you can do programs together and do shows together. And I was so busy, I didn't really have time to explore all the opportunities. But I like the fact that they list my bios, and it's a good place to park your bios if you're really trying to get people to listen to your
yeah,
music.
It's a wonderful site for a lot of bands who want to get started. Because then you'll see, like, there's other bands looking for bands to fill in show spots. You know, if you want to do your first live show, that's where a good place to start because that gives you an opportunity to meet other bands, to meet the venues, to meet the people behind the talent, people behind the venues. You know, get your foot in the door.
What I was going to say is that, you know, I have not really, really had the time that I wanted to connect with a lot of the bands. But what
yeah.
I am in the process, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Were you able to hear me a few minutes ago? Because I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Oh, I was able to hear you.
Well, what a lot of bands have done is that they're crossing over. The group I was in, literally, we did traditional gospel. However, I am a jazz singer and a gospel. Well, I'm a jazz and a blues singer. So I'm in the process of working on a collection of jazz where I'm going to do a dedication to one of our famous jazz singers. while over in Germany, I met one of the top jazz singers of Europe. And I was introduced to her, and they found it necessary to introduce me to this lady, and I didn't know why. And it come to find out, this lady is from my hometown, and they wanted me to meet her. And when I sat down to have dinner with her, and she was treating me like I was kinfolk, and she said, "You are kinfolk." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You're from my humble town, Indiana." And it was just a miracle that I would meet somebody all the way over in Germany from Indiana. And then I met my manager, who was also from Indiana, and we became family. And we performed on stage national TV. We did a dedication to Princess Diana after her death. So this was a real landmark occasion. And I made connection with her, and she said, "If you ever need me for anything, just let me know." And I often thought, this lady had a sitcom, a television show. Everybody was rolling out the red carpet to her. She was the lady of jazz everywhere she went. And I was so honored to spend that time with her that it gave me the momentum to go on and really try to explore my solo career. Because when I left the group, I had vowed that I was going to write. So I started writing, and all of my songs went into becoming a spoken word. But all of my prior group, they came and supported me when I did my solo performance on Christmas. I did a four-day Christmas performance. They all came and supported me. The show was great because I had all these great performers on my show, even though I was a novice. And I also think about Germany with passion in my heart for music. That is the country for music. I mean, these people are just in love with any kind of music.
Oh, yeah. It's not just Germany. I also noticed that there's a lot of people in the U.K. and Paris, Italy, everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Music is thriving over there, and they just love any kind of music, any genre, any kind of, you know, especially in Australia. I've interviewed a few people down there, and they love the blues and the jazz. And they're kind of sad that we here in Chicago don't have a jazz and blues station, but they're starving down there for blues and jazz grades, and that they have to find it, you know, outside their normal record stores. But here we have it thriving with us every single day, but not too many people, you know, take interest in it.
One of the things I noticed that they do there is that they allow you to rearrange music and submit it for pay. So those of us who have the ability to write can get into glass masters and recreating other people's music with different styles, and you can actually submit those and get paid. So there's so many ways that artists could get paid for their work. There were so many independent actors and actresses. I thought I was in Hollywood. And as I met all these people in my group, they were all performers as well as singers. So this is how they made their living. I was just moonlighting on the weekend, but they were so serious, and I would be so tired from working Monday through Friday that Thursday through Sunday I was beat. But yet it's very hard being on the stage. It's a lot of work, very, very hard being on the stage. But I want to get back to something. We had a spiritual connection, and we did traditional gospel, and it really became a healing session for the Germans. They always came because they wanted to get healed. They came in wheelchairs, and they asked me to hold their babies. They would always bring me the babies and say, "Could you hold my baby?" I would be singing in the audience holding a baby, and we'd be passing children around, and they just wanted to touch you. They wanted to just get next to you because they thought that this traditional gospel was going to heal them. And that made the group perform even better because you have to have the audience working with you in order to give you that momentum. And, Tanya, I think there was a spiritual thing going on there, but the spiritual thing that's going on now, I think it is not by choice that the universe is ordering it, and it's calling those inspirational people who are spiritual in nature. They're being called together because we're coming up on that 2012 year, and they said that 2012 year doesn't really mean the end of the world. It means you are going to have an end of a session as you know it, and you must transition into higher spiritual levels. This is what I've been told by by Dr. Jenkins. So what do you know about the millennium changing and the 2012, and is music going to be the same as we know it, or will we be doing outer space music?
I think in 2012, music is going to change the way we think, how we act, how we receive each other, because outer space music is on the rise. I've witnessed and reviewed few bands so far that have taken the next level, taking that spiritual sound, an instrumental sound, and taking it to another level that is hard to explain, it's hard to describe unless you're there with me in the same venue, listening to the same music. There are no words, there are no lyrics. You have to have a very attentive ear to hear the lyrics from the music and the eclectic sound that each person is performing. I like to give an example. There's a band from Ohio called Snare Burst, and they perform on stage in chemical suits like spacemen, and they have taken that electronica sound, to the next level. It's mostly space, it's mostly rock, and it's hard to describe because you have to be in the room with me to hear it at the same time. Because each person gets a different message out of that music. I got something out of it, and I don't know what the audience got out of it, but you know, it was wonderful. It was toe tapping happy. That's how I describe it.
Well, you know, I concur with you on that because the other day I was into Earth, Wind, and Fire, as you know, when we were talking. And
yeah.
There is a black man that does a rendition of Secret. And he wholeheartedly pays homage to Earth, Wind, and Fire in saying that Earth, Wind, and Fire were New Thought believers. And when they formed Earth, Wind, and Fire, it was all to line up with the elements. You know, the basic elements of our hierarchy when they actually came up with the Earth, Wind, and Fire. And those entities actually mean, you know, with the cardinal direction, it's talking about, you know, Shango, Alegba, Obatala.
Yeah.
All of these things represent something for the colors. See, it's not by accident that they choose their colors. I read that introduction to let you know that these people who are spiritualists are using the elements, fire, water, and earth, and air, and they are incorporating color in there. They're also using gemstones, and days of the week, which all have a powerful meaning. And when on stage, those that are taught New Thought are taught to send out trance to the audience. And if their body goes into a figure eight, they can literally put the audience in a trance. And that trance could be to stay with them and to support what they're doing because you need the audience to keep the momentum. And one lady I know personally who I did research, Nina Simone, she literally came back and said, I was known for putting the audience in a trance because I had such difficult time initially because she was in the movement. She was in the Black Panther movement. And her music during that era of time was in the struggle. And they all turned on her after all the Black Panthers and everybody was locked up and they dispersed.
Yeah.
She was stuck here and didn't know what to do. And she said at one point she could not stay here in America because it was dangerous for her. She didn't know what to do with all her revolutionary behavior, and it was not being tolerated because people were now being put on notice. So she moved to Paris where she could be free. And this is where most African-Americans went who wanted to be free, free-bound writers or revolutionaries or whatever. Paris was so liberal, it allowed them to come there and be themselves. So she went to Europe, and yet she was a revolutionary, and no one knew it, but she oftentimes had been interviewed by various different big corporations. She was a classical piano player, and no one wanted to accept her in the school, so she took it and added it to jazz, but she's always been classical. So finally, somebody interviewed her and gave her this opportunity, and now her pictures and her bust, she is an ancestor. She is in the hall. A bust of her body has been sculptured with her hairdo and everything, and her whole background was liberation for our people. She sang To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. That was a national anthem. And then she sings a song about Mississippi and the struggle that the people went through. And you would see these people come together, be like they were. About her that I have vowed that I am going to do a Nina Simone tribute. I've been practicing, working on her music. I just fell in love with everything she represented. And her voice is a raspy voice, like a man. And they said that in those days, the more raspy and hard your voice was, the easier it was for men to accept you because they didn't want the feminine voices. And she said she made it through because they had to move her and hide her because it was so rough during this time that if you were a revolutionary singer, and Earth, Wind, and Fire was too, but they had to camouflage, house the fire, create your desire, I want to take you higher and higher. So what they're doing is telling you, we're taking you on an elevation trip here. When you come down, you are going to go to a meditation. So they were taking you and putting you in a trance for meditation to work out your problems. So I find that really interesting. And I just want to know, is there any other female singers out there?
Oops. Oh, I think I lost it. Hello?
Tanya. Oh, yeah, I was saying, are there any people you know that have been involved in a new thought and their lyrics represents that and they're teaching through their lyrics?
I haven't met any female lyricists yet that are into the new thought, but it's mostly men. And you'll be surprised, it's mostly the Caucasian, I will say, you know, the racially mixed men, males. Males are coming to the forefront for now. But not so much for women, not yet. Give them a chance.
What about Lenny Williams? Is he involved in the new
I really don't know too much about her work yet, but I'm trying to...
I mean, Lenny Williams.
Do
you know who Lenny Williams, the good guitar player?
No. I mean, I try to keep up, you know, as much as I can, as busy as I am with other artists and other musicians. It's kind of hard when you're being bombarded from day to day with, you know, new music and new CDs popping in your mailbox. But
What is your preference, though? What is your preference?
Honestly, it depends on which band is performing on stage. I really don't have a strong preference because I like a lot of things. I have a very eclectic background. I do like, you know, show tunes for Broadway all the way up to classical music like Mozart, Beethoven, Haydn, up to classic rock, retro 80s music, the grunge scene from the 90s. I'm an all-around person. I get both of it from both sides of my parents. My dad was mostly into blues, jazz, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, or Count Basie and his band. So I got mostly that from him. And then my mom was mostly, you know, the softer side of pop rock and a lot of, you know, Gladys Knights and the Pips, the Temptations, Stevie Wonder. So I got, you know, a little bit of both worlds growing up.
Now, Tanya, you said something that really struck a nerve. And, you know, in my years of teaching, I've been told that it was really great for children to have a good foundation of music and that it also helped them academically. So in our household, we were all musically inclined and instruments were rented so that we could play the clarinet. My sister played the violin, and I had my children do Suzuki violin. So music stayed in our family. But what I was going to ask you, I'm very attracted to Bach and Mozart, and I found out through reading that these particular artists, they have been able to write music that it will stimulate the brain for the brain waves to be able to carry neurosynapse and open up for the child to learn better. And I use that in my classroom, and most of my children score higher. I'm retired now, but most of my students were scoring higher. They were learning to read faster, and they were doing better because they had a curriculum of a lot of classical music. What can you tell me about education in classical music?
I found that if I play classical music when my kids are doing homework, it calms them. For some reason, if you start off with Beethoven and you end with Mozart and a little bit of Bach and you mix match the three composers together, kids are, you know, they're more interested more. The music calms them. The brain is stimulated to learn more. And I found out through when I took piano lessons that I was able to study longer during high school after piano lessons because I had the music still going in my head. I still heard the notes. I still heard the four count beat going throughout my whole head, especially when I was taking tests. I would hear Mozart playing. I would hear like the number 20 piano concerto in my head. I'll hear it note by note, note by note, ups to downs, everything. I could hear it, and I wouldn't even have to listen to it for a whole full week, and I could still hear Mozart in my head. Hello?
I'm here.
For some reason, music does something to the brain. I wish I was a scientist to really, do more experimentation about it. But music and education go together. It's a sad thing now that they are cutting music classes. They're cutting the classicals out of the high schools and grammar schools these days because of lack of budget and everything. But kids do need to know that music is just beyond the hip-hop, the rap, and everything. It's like without hip-hop and rap, you need that classical sound because you can't do it without it. Mozart,
right.
There
is also a big movement on this new rap called Detox Hip-Hop.
Yeah.
And they're all over Chicago now. Are you familiar with them and what they're doing? They do a presentation in the school.
Oh, yeah. I heard about the Detox Hip Hop. I haven't seen it anywhere where my youngest daughter goes to school yet. But I've heard about it, that they're, doing it in the high school, that they're, giving kids something, that's out there, better than what I'm hearing on the streets these days. So I really haven't been able to see the Detox Hip Hop show myself. I wish they would do it for the younger kids because you need to start while they're young. While they're young, grab them while you can before they get to 14 or 15 years old.
Tanya, I kind of think that now they're finding that everybody just made hip-hop a potpourri, and mm-hmm. they just threw everything in there. Everything went. They didn't have any standard. And that means, as raunchy as you can go, the better. And they started revisiting that thing, saying, hey, look, words are very powerful. And even in the African faith, they believe that words are so powerful that you can chant words that have power to them. And they don't come back void to you. They do what it's intended to do. And words are so powerful that you can penetrate young minds and affect young minds to the point of brainwashing people, too. So that now with this detox, it's like, let's clean this thing up. Let's make sure our lyrics have some intention and it's going to accomplish that which is intended, because I've seen where hip-hop will brainwash young people, and they think they're connected to these
I've seen it
hip-hoppers
too.
Family members.
It's not just,
in
the music. I know what you're saying. It's not in just the music. It's also in the hip-hop poster. They splash all over the, abandoned buildings and everything. GED now doesn't stand for General Education Diploma. It stands for Get Everything on Demand. Get everything you need.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
okay.
There's a hip-hop artist out there who's locally, and he's changed the word to what GED stands for. It doesn't mean get a general education diploma anymore. It's get everything on demand. Get what you want. They're changing acronyms and brainwashing these kids that this acronym doesn't mean that anymore. It means this now, grab the money.
There's a group out there that is, now I want to make sure I get my thought here, that, there's an effort to say we need to work on this. And there's a group called Scientific, And they have been very instrumental in going back to the ancient time, writing lyrics that really deliver you and that inform you about Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And these young people have done such a fantastic job. I will say this. It is because of some of the hip-hoppers that I really became a poet. And they saw the gift I had and assisted me, a brother. And encouraged me to go on to, and to record. So I do love hip-hoppers, but we have to be very specific about what it is we're saying and putting out there. But Scientific is so knowledgeable. I think they went and got an education first, and they filled their vocabulary and understanding of a concept of Egypt. So now they are they're lightweight lecturers. I've changed that, heavyweight lecturers on Egyptology. And I love that because they're teaching and I'm becoming informed. I learned from them that the earth does not spin around on its axle. And they explain it's just your body that's moving and your mind that's moving, but the earth is not going anywhere. And they're informing these people. And young people are saying, oh, my God, you know, I didn't learn that in school. And this is what I want to challenge young people to. Don't just pick up a history book. Take a trip to Africa. Also, get literature that is conscious-minded literature. Study that literature about your ancestors, about those Egyptians that came before you. And then when you start writing, you've got a foundation to write from. Most of the people that are writing don't have a foundation to write from. They're talking about idiotic stuff about their relationship, which is temporary, and it doesn't last. And they're talking about information about who's fighting who or who's going to pick out who. And this is stupid because, you know, this will mean that rap is going to be temporary here. We want to create wholesome, traditional things that will be lasting. If we're going to leave a mark for hip-hop to last, we've got to create some traditional things that can last and be here. Not, I'm talking about your mama in a rap, so you got to call me back and write another rap to talk about my mama. You know, that is foolishness. I mean, that is ebonics to the third degree. You know, so
I
want to admonish them.
I just want to say not all hip-hop artists are bad. There are some.
No, they're not.
There are some who do preach political themes, social themes. I know one artist, he's very popular here on the West Side. His name is Philip Morris. He preaches. He does. I mean, he's a rap artist, but he's more like preaching the social ills of what's going on in this nation, what's happening in our homes, what's happening to
Absolutely.
The communities. And he's telling everybody, wake up, you know, time to smell the coffee, time to get your kids right, time, you know, stop blaming the man for everything that has happened to you. He uses rap in the most unique way. It's not just straight, you know, beats and whatever. He takes
Have we forgotten, Tanya? When we first started here in the speakeasy, was people standing out in the streets on a ladder, standing up over everyone else, and they were ushering them to come and hear them, and they were speaking about the ills of the community, and they made it so that it became like a song so that people could listen to it and be palatable. But now you got people just blurting out anything, and they've gone away from the whole message.
I know, and it's amazing what comes up and down my, you know, street over here, hearing about, you know, B better have my money, or my mama, you know, I'm going to smack the mess out of her. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, what are you teaching these kids here that it's okay to smack the mess out of your own mother, the mother that gave you life, who may take it away from you in a blink of an eye? But I mean,
well, you know what, it's just, you know, Tanya, I get the impression that they think, well, the doggier and rougher I get, the better. And then when you meet these people, they're so humble, loving people. I'm like, that's not you at all. So why were you singing that?
Like,
and then they'll say, well, I think
it?
That's what the people want.
And, you know, when my brothers, I have like four brothers. I'm the oldest, yay. And when my three younger brothers decided, you know, they wanted to be rap artists, and I asked them why. And they're like, oh, because make money. You get to wear the bling. And you get the, you know, the bootylicious girls. And I'm like, do you know how much? I'm like, do you know how long it takes a rap artist to really break into the music scene? Do you know how much money a regular rap artist, after he breaks into the music scene, only gets a little minuscule amount of money because
after
his agent, the record company, the producer, the engineer, your lyricist, and your publicist, and all your other people on your little entourage after they chew up your contract, you're only going to wind up with at least $50 if you're that lucky.
Oh, my God. Now, see, you're right, Tanya. And here in America, that's what happens. I found that overseas, if somebody's not vested in being a good manager for you and watching over you, I was so blessed, Tanya, that I didn't even have to go look for a manager. He came to me. Not that I was so good or anything. It's just that he had faith in me. But he was very fair about paying us a decent wage. I mean, I could have lived off of it full time, but it was just my weekend job. However, he put me on a lifetime contract, meaning as long as I stayed in Europe, I got royalties off every CD that was sold. And I got my royalty check every month. We had a royalty meeting. It was very professional. Over in Europe, they don't play that stuff because this is a business over here.
Because I told my brothers, like, if you don't have an education, if you don't know how to read, don't know how to add 1 plus 1 equals 2, not 1 plus 1 equals 3, because after your agent, you know, knows that, you, A, you don't know how to read, B, you don't know how to count your own money, then you're skimming off the top and skimming off bottom and maybe inside the middle of your little sandwich money. Because then when you get your sandwich, it's going to be nothing but fluff and bread. And that's
and
about
we know
what
a long
you're going
to
end up with.
Tanya, they used to take those artists and say, I'll buy you a car, I'll buy you a house.
Your house.
And you,
I'll
me,
buy your
you
mom a mansion.
You're taking
and,
a loan
you know,
out against your own money, and he's mishandling your money, and you literally don't own anything because the note of the house is not paid off yet. I've even seen where entertainers lost everything because somebody mismanaged their money. So,
right.
An artist,
and a lot of
you need a degree.
And a lot of artists, you know, are not getting royalties like they're supposed to be getting because they're like, oh, wow, I'm making money. But you're not actually making money. It's the people who are behind you who are really
that's
making
right.
the money. And so
I said,
wake call for my brothers. I'm like, look, you're not going to be making money because the people who are working behind you, they're the real millionaires. They're the ones driving the fancier cars to your little whatever putt-putt car. Because you have to work extremely hard. I'm talking about long tours. You're going to have to tour with somebody who's big known. You're going to have to make sure your show alone, not their show that you're promoting.
And Tanya,
your
you know
show
what else
alone
they have to do?
Sells out.
They have to have good morals, good character, and good conduct because everybody's influencing you when you're on tour. Everybody's trying you. You're more vulnerable. You're weaker than, and you are tired and exhausted. So they want you to have this enormous amount of energy. So everybody wants you to take something, take this for energy. This will boost you. And before you know it, you're allowing
people
to
manage
you.
It
opens
down.
Up doors for you to get hooked on drugs. You have to have good morals, and when you're doing this, you have to know who are these people out in this community that is really for you. You can really get misled in the profession of the music industry, and if a manager says he's managing you, he's got to be family. You got to be able to watch him, see what he's doing, and got to be able to know that he's got your best interest.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of people out here who might work for your interest, but they're working for their own. And you will also find out in this industry who your actual friends are, not the ones that are so phony that say, you know, oh, you had a great show, you did a great show. The real friends are the ones that are going to tell you what you did wrong, what your show was really like. You know, they're not going to be phony baloney. They're going to be very blunt in your face, dude, whatever, friend.
You know,
hey,
Tanya, what I saw was so unique. I saw a lot of young artists, they knew what was going on in Europe, so the first thing they wanted was a tour. And sometimes it does help your career. You can instantly become a star when you tour in Europe because they are so gullible that they want to make you a star and give you everything you think you need. And if you come back periodically on a regular basis, then they carve out a key to the city. I actually have a key to the city in Bergkursna, where I live for over 5 years. I lived in Hanau and Bergkursna, but they gave me a key to the city after I gave the concert and said, anytime you want to come back, the concert hall is yours, and we'll even give you a discount price because you did this for our community. They wanted to make me a citizen of their town, but I couldn't give up my American citizenship. Nevertheless, I made it. I really had made it in music. They carved out on Mother's Day an opportunity for me to speak to the nation of women and read my poetry. I was so grateful and humbled that I didn't want this to go through my head, that I even allowed my son to perform on stage in my place to let him see that this is a humbling experience. It's not one that you take for granted and say, you know, now I'm a big star. He was filmed on television all of a sudden and said, oh, you was on TV singing. How'd you get that spot? He said, oh, well, my mom couldn't make it, so, they asked me to sing in her place. My son was just outdone. They gave a party for him. I mean, they watched him on TV, and they were like, you know how kids start gloating, oh, you made it, during Bandstand, and they had a big program called, like, American Bandstand overseas in Germany. So whenever we went somewhere, our pictures were up in lights, and we would go to the camera store, then they have our pictures there, and they said, I saw your face before. You one of those Jacksons. I didn't even know I was famous. I didn't even know that I made, you know, crossed any lines because I was busy teaching school throughout the week. And they said, oh, you're that school teacher that moonlights. But by and large, it really did something for me to know that if I ever come back to the music industry, I don't have to push so hard to make it because I've made it in my life if I never make it again. Mm-hmm. But I am under the impression I'd like to offer my skills to help those young brothers to write, to help them to write good lyrics and help them to put out meaningful material. I definitely say I want to send that out to the audience that, you know, if those young people are there, I try and make myself available to them, and I want to because they should start a writing career first and have someone to help them to narrow down what their topic is and what is their mission and what are they saying and where they're getting the material. All that other stuff is easy to put together.
Because going back to our general topic, that's what this world fusion is all about. It's about a theme. That's why there are no lyrics, because music, in a way, can be your lyric. It's just an expression of your mood. It's an expression of your thought, what you want to convey to the general audience out there. And don't worry about, you know, if the general audience will pick up on what you're thinking or how you're feeling that day. They're going to feel it. And then once they feel it, pow, you're going to watch, you know, the world, you're going to watch them explode and feel happy, and they're going to be feeling what you're feeling the moment you wrote that first note or that moment that you scribble that riff to that chord, you know, whatever, A major or whatnot.
And you know what, Tanya, I want to put a song on that I think it could take us there. Let me see if I can take us there. Hold on for 1 minute, Tanya.
Okay.
It's going to be in the atmosphere, folks. It's on. It's happening. It's happening right here.
Yeah, I can dance to this.
I'm getting down in the background, Tony.
Oh, am I?
There's a party up in here in Kittery today. If you want to hear some German music, this is the place to come. And it takes you to a point where you feel like, you know, it takes you higher and higher. And I want to say this to Tanya. We're coming up on that 7:30 hour. It has been a blast, Tanya. It has really been good to hear from somebody that knows what they're talking about. And I want to thank you. And you're always welcome on the show, Tanya. And I'm saying to my audience out there, we're talking about earth, wind, air, and fire. It's a new song, people.
It's happening, and it's live and well. And watch out in 2012, because music is going to go to a higher ground.
How's the fire creates a desire? Can it take you higher and higher? And we're moving up on that 10-second hour. I want to thank our guests who've been with us for two segments. Miss Tanya Vega, one of the utmost outstanding makers in the community when it comes to bands, please check her out, because I'm going to be checking her out, because I'm going to do a press release. And I plan on having fun.
We hang out together.
Oh, yeah, we're going to hang out, Tanya. Because I love music.
We're going to hang out.
It's something
world
I do.
Music.
That sounds great to me. That sounds like a plan. And if you're spiritual at all, you've got to be connected to music, people. You've got to be connected to music. And you can't very well stop the music in you, see. I talk about and sing about and write about the music inside of me. Sometimes there's a beat moving and there's no music anywhere. And you know how we are. We walk in a room and the music is going. We're vibrating all over the place. Right, Tanya?
Oh, yeah. I have to agree with that. This is like Monday now.
And I want to let you know, today we're not going to go to Canyonland. But we're going to go to one of those atmospheres where the music is bouncing and you hear the jazz music. Oh, yes. And next time around, I'm playing most of my jazz people here for the jazz, ladies and gentlemen. I really think that African Americans have to cross over. I don't care if you are Christian singers. It's okay to be a jazz singer. It's okay to be a blues singer. There's nothing wrong with it. It's all music. I don't think you're going to go to hell in a basket for singing some jazz music. What do you think, Tanya?
I think it's wonderful that music is the universal language of the new millennium.
And for those young people out there, you hip hopers, we love you. And we support you. But we want to help you. And let us give you some advice. For those of us who are writers out there, myself, I want to make myself available to you. My poetry is out there on my website, and every now and then I get a few hip hoppers that said I'd like to use that. And that's great, because if they can appropriate, you know, perpetrate that music out there and get it going, I'm all for it. But we must be sending out good messages, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give your world back to you in a few seconds here, and you can get back to your work and get back to doing what we do best. And if any of you are in the audience who want to get down, it's okay to get down. We love music. African people first. African people, one mind, one spirit, and one aim. Don't think because you have become saved and sanctified that you are so full of the spirit, now you can't even dance.
Oh,
if the spirit is in you,
dance.
If the spirit is in you, then you have to dance. You have to dance. You have to dance. Am I right, Tanya?
Oh, yes, you have to dance.
Get your exercise today and care to read. It's been a blast, Tanya.
Oh, it's been a wonderful blast to hear you again. And hear the
listeners.
Oh,
we're
going to
do this again. We're
going to
do this again. And we had already committed that we were going to get together and do something. And I know that there's something else more for us to do. I just feel it in the atmosphere that people like you and I are being called together for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now don't let this music pass you by. If you feel like you got the notion and you want to cut a rug, now's the time to do it. You might not get this chance anymore, but I'm by the chair to read rules. Listen to the music. It can be a healing experience for you. You might even find the solutions to some of your hidden problems. Can't take you to Canaan land today, because we're going to go with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Tanya, how does the fire create your desire?
Oh, it's doing wonderful.
Does it take you higher and higher?
I'm going higher and higher, and I'm never going to come down.
All right. Tanya says she's never going to come down. And you know, Tanya, I think that when we begin to understand that this thing called music is a part of us, it is our stuff. Let me see if I got some jazz here or blues.
And people don't think it's because it sounds sad. Hey, she feels happy.
Wants the world to know just what the blues is all about. The blues ain't nothing but a pain in your heart when you've got a bad start and you and your man has to part. Ladies, see the blues. She's got it bad. She feels so sad. Wants the world to know just what the blues is all about. Omiika's Mantu Productions brings you a spiritual lifeline connection. Poems written and inspired by a black woman, created for the sole purpose of diverse populations of women in recovery who have been victims but refuse to be victimized. Poems will be read by the author, Omiika Bidiako Garth. The collection is entitled The Journey of a Class Agent, According to Garth. Join me as I recite Volume 1 of The Journey of a Class Agent, According to Garth.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for going there with me. I'd like to thank Tanya Vega for hanging out with me, one of the best Southside Chicago, one of the best in the profession. If you ever need her, please look her up. Tanya Vega has been with us hanging out for 2 days. This is your Omiika, your advisor that you need, and your advocate that you want, bringing you the best in topics and discussion. Please join us again tomorrow, same time, 6:30. You can meet me here at the point of your need. And once again, be good to yourself. And remember, one aim, one purpose, and one mind. Stay in there. Keep that dial right there and tune in tomorrow at the same time. Our number is 646-478-0270. And for you hip-hoppers out there who are writers and lyricists, please tune in because we will be talking about lyricists and writing because writing is my thing. A wordologist has to be involved and engaged with those writers and those hip-hoppers. We love you, hip-hoppers, and we want to support you. And you know you have our support. But we also want you to call into the station and be a part of the teaching here because we are educating in the consumer family science area. And we'd like to thank you once again. And we say hello to Harambe. And we also say goodbye to Harambe. Delani Aman, keep up the good work. And we give out 3 shouts. Put your hand in the air in the atmosphere and shout out with your fist and say Harambe. Harambe, Harambe. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for tomorrow. Have a good evening and be good to yourself. And may your higher self, your Ori, be satisfied. And may he give you good success. And may you find your higher self every day by pressing God forward in your life. Odabo, have a good one.